Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday off a weekend. You had to make choices. There was so much sports. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're right here on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. Plenty of both. Nice to have you in. Joy Taylor joining me. Choices, that's what we had to make all weekend. We had to make choices. There were too many games on.
Yep, like you could choose to lose or you could choose to go to the NBA Finals.
I know, you're very, very happy, and you should be. So let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Magical Russell Wilson pulls it off. And so I've been kind of complaining about the Cowboys for the last 2 years. What's their identity? Like, what are they? I know what they're not. What are they? This morning, it's official. Dallas is a good team. And Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He had 470 yards last night, 93 quarterback rating. He just happened to be playing the best football player on earth. But Dallas is a good team. They're pretty good on third down. They're pretty good at getting first downs. 460 net passing yards. They lost very close to the Rams and Seahawks. That's what a good team would do on the road. They were close, but they couldn't pull it out. They have all the qualities of a good team. They fight really, really hard. They never give up. They've got some really special players. And they have one great unit. Damn, their wide receivers, they are unbelievably. Cedric Wilson now is another great one. Good teams almost always have one great unit. But like the Raiders and the Titans and the Colts, they just don't have that special quarterback that can take you from good to great. Raiders are just like that. Raiders have one great unit, offensive line and running game. They can really pound it. They can really lean on you. But the Titans and the Colts and the Raiders in Dallas, the difference between them and, you know who they are, is there's a hole somewhere and they can't solve it. And for the record, the NFL is sort of two food groups here. Hey, you're pretty good, or you're not very good. And for Dallas, you're in the right group. You're good. I mean, let's be honest. Is every restaurant you go to great? Dallas is a 3-star out of a 5. You'd certainly go again. You enjoyed yourself. It was a solid meal, better than making it at home. Is every movie you see great? Dallas is a 3-star movie out of a 5. Like one of those Michael Bay movies. Certainly passes the time, lots of explosions. They won't be handing out any awards for Michael Bay movies. Now, the NFC East is absolutely dreadful. It is the worst division in the NFL by a long shot, and it's quite possibly the worst division in a decade. So you've got some time at the trading deadline maybe to pull off a deal. You'd have to pull off a couple. But tonight, Ravens Chiefs, you will see great and special. Last night, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that was great. There's a little bit of that in the league. Tiny, tiny. And most of our lives are a bunch of good. And what creates anger and resentment is when you keep trying to convince yourself your good is great. You can look at the box score. Dallas is a good football team. They go to the Rams, come within a play. Atlanta got lucky to win. Last night, close but couldn't make it. And Dak Prescott largely personifies the entire franchise. Get your first downs, get your yards, keep it close, certainly make plays. But final two drives, the other quarterback made the play, and Dak couldn't make the play because good quarterbacks against great quarterbacks just don't. And that's okay. But if you keep trying to convince yourself the good in your life is great, it'll drive you nuts. It'll make you angry. You'll wake up in a weekend morning and go to Twitter and scream at people. Good is what most of our lives are surrounded by, and you just got to own it. Maybe at the trading deadline they pull something off, but we now know what they are. The exact same thing they were last year and the year before and the year before. Now, most of you did not watch Tom Brady yesterday. You were watching the Cowboy game against the Seahawks. So for most of you that did not see it, let me fill you in on what happened. Brady was excellent. 300 yards, 115 passer rating against the Vic Fangio defense. Eight different Buccaneers had two catches. Gronk had six. The defense is filthy. Excellent pass rush. Maybe the best linebacking core in the NFL. And I got to be honest, everybody banged on Tampa's secondary. Todd Bowles is coaching his butt off because I like it. It is young and it is hyper-athletic. I know you didn't watch that game outside of Denver and Tampa. I did. The game you did watch with Tampa was the first game against New Orleans. No preseason, no OTAs, a bunch of different pieces. Leonard Fournette just got there. The Saints at home and healthy. And that game, they look completely out of sync. No, they are no longer out of sync. This is a Super Bowl team. And unlike Russell Wilson, and unlike Patrick Mahomes, and unlike Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady once again, and this is why he's got all those Super Bowl trophies, Tom Brady once again has a Super Bowl defense. Tampa Bay and Tom, like Peyton Manning years ago in Denver, Tom got to choose the team he went to. And Tom Brady chose wisely. Tampa Bay has a wealth of talent. There is not a single unit for the Ravens, the Chiefs, or the Buccaneers that is a problem. They're imperfect. We have a salary cap. Nobody's going to be the 75 Steelers or the 1998 Yankees. I mean, these are not, you know, we got salary caps here, folks. Everybody's got issues. Even in baseball, when you have no salary cap, it's hard to find the perfect team with injuries. And this isn't a perfect team. The secondary's young, and it's Tampa Bay special teams. Cross your fingers. That is potentially a great football team with a wealth of talent. And like wealthy people, your problems aren't like real people problems. Here's Brady afterward nitpicking the win.
Still a lot to learn. There's a lot to grow. There's a lot of room for improvement. I know everyone feels that way. By no means was this nearly close to what we're capable of.
Yeah. Tom's big knock yesterday was, I'm not getting the ball enough to Mike Evans. A problem is you don't have anybody as good as Mike Evans. Tampa's problem is we have him. We only threw two balls to him. I mean, they were both touchdowns, but we just got to get the ball more to Mike Evans. That is not a real problem in the NFL. I know most of you only watch them against the Saints. This is a really, really loaded football team. And Brady's career has been marked not by his athletic ability, not by his arm, not by his escapability, but he mostly has really, really good judgment. He chose the right roster. This was a roster for the last 3 or 4 years that we kept talking about. Boy, they draft well. And oh, my Lord, look at their weapons. And this is the right team to pick. He could have picked maybe the Colts. Some people talked about, you know, the 49ers. And all I know is when I watched that yesterday, that team and the two you watch tonight, I don't see a flaw. I don't see it. That team. And the other thing is they're winning that division. Okay, I don't know if they'll be the number one seed. They're going to win that division. I've watched the Saints now 3 weeks in a row, and they look really nice in the first week, but it's becoming very apparent. Everybody's got film. They don't throw the ball down the field. This Tampa Bay team can throw it deep. They can throw it in the seam. They can hand it off. They can throw it in the backfield, and Todd Bowles remains maybe the best coordinator in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan for years was the best coordinator in the NFL. I think Todd Bowles at Tampa may be the best coordinator in the NFL. When you're a coordinator and you go get a head coaching job, which he did in the Jets, and it fails, we forget how great of a coordinator you were. Tampa Bay is good. Really, really good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
For years and years, Green Bay is the smallest professional sports city in America. What does that mean? It's a small town. It's a tiny town. Tiny towns always think, you know, the big cities are not paying attention to them, and the big cities are not, they don't give us respect. And so Green Bay, the cheeseheads, always feel a little bit shorted, glanced over, you know, flyover country. And for years and years, it's like, no, you're just not a Super Bowl team. This is not an eye roll. This feels like a team that could win the Super Bowl. Green Bay, this is a good football team. To go into New Orleans without Devontae Adams, who totally changes the offense, without Kenny Clark, that totally changes their defensive line, and then lose your defensive play caller in the middle of the game and win, and I thought really control the football game. I thought they were clearly the better team. That's impressive, especially since the Saints, a really well-run organization, had been humiliated on a standalone Monday night game the week before, so they were in a foul mood. But late in the game, clearly Green Bay was better. I still think they need one more dynamic piece, either a pass rusher or a complementary piece to Devontae Adams. Because yesterday, Alan Lazard had 150 yards, but it was a lot of dink and dunk and backs and tight ends. And that blunder by the front office, everybody keeps telling me this team, Aaron Rodgers is dialed in. He is motivated and he is focused because they drafted Jordan Love, which I have defended. But the second round draft pick, the running back, who is now fourth string a month into the season, was a blunder. They whiffed. That was a bad draft pick. It's okay. Green Bay has a history of good draft picks. Has a bad draft pick. He's not playing. You need guys who can help Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Jones is so good at running back, that kid's not going to play. I'll defend you on the blocking tight end. I'll defend you on drafting Jordan Love. I'll defend you on the three interior offensive linemen. You whiffed on the second pick. Because Green Bay needs one more offensive special piece to me, because Devontae Adams now has a little bit of a recent history of getting banged up. You got to have another piece. A veteran in the league can dependably 9 targets, 6 catches for Aaron Rodgers. The Jordan Love thing I'll defend, but I will say this. Let's just talk about the cream of the crust in the NFL. Like, let's not waste our time with, you know, 25 of the teams. To me, we're 3 weeks in, there are 6 teams in this league right now that have a Super Bowl in their sights, and they're coming 2 tiers. Baltimore, Kansas City, and Tampa can win a Super Bowl with their current rosters today. That's tier one. Tier two is Green Bay, Seattle, and New England. They all need to make a move at the trading deadline. Seattle has got to get help on the defensive line. New England has got to get Cam one vertical component offensively, and Green Bay needs at least one more special piece. I would love to see Aaron get one more trustable wide receiver who's been in the league a long time. He's not going to get Allen Robinson from the Bears. Forget that. It's the same division. That would be great. That would be ideal. But that's where we're at right now. This is a real team. This is not an eye roll. This is not everybody's picking on us. This is what a Super Bowl team looks like. They're just, if they stay healthy, Green Bay is just missing one more piece. And front office, let's be honest, you butchered the second round pick. You butchered it. Go get one. You owe Aaron Rodgers one. What is he, 36 years old? You owe him one. Here's Aaron after the game.
Our offense, I feel really good about it. We got in a good flow. I feel like, again, Matt, you know, had a really nice flow with the calls. We did a nice job, you know, on third down for the most part. And, you know, we're opportunistic with some big plays when we needed it. Got a lot of guys involved. You know, I think we had a number of guys catch passes. We had a number of guys who we needed to play well, played well.
Also, remember last year, my knock on Green Bay. Matt LaFleur is a young coach. Young coaches are often very good on the script. Green Bay was a very good first half team last year. Take out the Niner games. They obviously script plays. They came in, but they were bad at halftime. And the great coaches in this league, the Andy Reids, the Bill Belichicks, the Pete Carrolls, they're great second half coaches. John Harbaugh, they make adjustments. Green Bay was a lousy second half team. You know what they are this year? They're a really good second half team. And they only had 2 penalties. So what that tells me is Matt LaFleur is getting better as a coach. Year one, oh, he had a great game plan. Sit in that film room, first 25 plays, you're, oh, and he had no second gear. Green Bay now is a really nice second half football team. That tells me the coaching's getting better and the efficiency's getting better because they only had two penalties with all those yards against a better than average Saints defense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Sometimes you lower your standards and you just try to salvage something. You're salvaging a relationship. It's never going to be great with your parents, but just try to salvage it. You're salvaging a vacation. You know, you forgot your luggage. Airline loses all your luggage. You're in Miami 3 days. Let's just salvage the weekend. Let's just have fun. Go to the beach, hang out. This happens all the time. You're a dad. You want to grill burgers for the family. You get into a conversation. You go outside. You burn the burgers. You're just trying to salvage dinner so the kids aren't screaming and yelling. You salvage stuff. Sometimes you lower your standards. Philadelphia was just trying to salvage a tie yesterday. Nothing went right. The quarterback was awful. You lost another offensive line starter. None of your wide receivers are healthy. Let's get the hell out of here with a tie. In the NFC East, ties are better than losses because everybody in the division is losing. We'll just get out of here with a tie. So everybody in Philadelphia, this is what they do, wants to bang on Super Bowl winning head coach Doug Peterson, who outcoached Belichick in the Super Bowl. Doug's smarter than the fans who are ripping him. But, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's what they do. They rip the coach. So yesterday they decided to salvage the game in which they no healthy, bad quarterback, and they punt. Instead of kicking the winning field goal, they punt, right? There's a penalty there. They were set up for a field goal. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, delay a game. Knocked them back 5 yards. And Doug Peterson said, hell with it. Punt, let's get out of here with a tie. Well, folks, if you miss, which you probably would, Joe Burrow gets the football, has to complete one ball for 12 yards, which if you watch Joe Burrow yesterday, he's really capable of doing. And then you walk out with a loss. It's the NFC East. The NFC East is terrible. You could literally win the NFC East and not get your act together until week 12. You know, like last year. You're going to win this division potentially at 7-8-1. Okay? I mean, or 8-7-1. Whatever it is. Doug Peterson, you're just trying. Nothing's going right. We can't get our act together. We're struggling everywhere offensively. Here's Doug after.
The false start backed us up, so we just said, hey, let's just punt the football here. We didn't want to give them the ball, you know, towards midfield, or even a chance to go for it on fourth down and long, incomplete pass, something like that. They get the ball short field, they could kick a field goal and win the game. So, just made that decision. Hopefully something, you know, positive might have come out of the punt.
I got news for you, folks. It feels a lot better tying than losing. It really does. Maybe in another division, if you had the Steelers and the Ravens in your division, you're like, let's go for it. I get that. That's not this division. 7 wins may win this division. So when you can't figure stuff out, just salvage, just get a tie and have a whole, cross your fingers on health next week.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, I don't know if you noticed this, but LeBron's in another finals. In the Michael Jordan LeBron debate, here's three things you can no longer argue because they're like facts and stuff. LeBron's going to take his 5th head coach to the finals. Michael could never take a 2nd head coach to the finals. LeBron's going to take his 3rd team, 3rd franchise to the finals. Michael Jordan couldn't win half his games with his 2nd team. When LeBron James leaves a franchise, they all deteriorate, even the good ones like Miami, the well-run ones. Michael Jordan leaves, the Bulls were incredibly viable. Almost made the finals the next year. I want you to think about this, and this is what I've always argued, where LeBron's got a little Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan didn't elevate all his teammates. He took the ball out of other scorers' hands, but he was a remarkable player. LeBron elevates everybody. Everybody plays their best basketball or a version of it. If not statistically, they win more games with LeBron. Take LeBron out from the Lakers roster. Now, I want you to think about this. Take LeBron out of this Lakers roster. The starting lineup would be this in the West. JaVale McGee at center, Anthony Davis at forward, Kyle Kuzma at forward, KCP, Alex Caruso. The bench would be Rondo, Danny Green, and Dwight Howard. that's not as good as the Anthony Davis Pelican teams that had an all-star in Jrue Holiday, a younger Rondo, and Boogie Cousins. And that team struggled to get into the playoffs. This team's in the finals. And they're not only in the finals. They blew through the West. They crushed Portland in five. And then crushed Westbrook and Harden in five. And then Denver was red hot and they crushed them in five. Like, there's in the MJ LeBron debate, you got to give up certain arguments. Like, well, I mean, LeBron did it in the East. No, he just blitzed through the West. Well, I mean, LeBron James is fifth head coach to the finals. Michael could do it with one. Third team to the finals. Michael could do it with one. And every team LeBron leaves is a mess, even the well-run teams like the Miami Heat. Michael left and the Bulls were fine. Like Michael in his prime, I do not believe can take this roster, even Anthony Davis, to the finals. This is just old and weird and disparate parts. I mean, here's what's interesting, is that the Cavaliers, the second time he got there, and the Lakers, people have a short memory. They were both in chaos. I mean, the Lakers were in chaos. Even with the late Kobe Bryant at the end of his career, they were a mess. Nobody trusted the ownership. The owners' kids couldn't get along. And then they had Magic, and then Magic resigns and doesn't tell anybody and has a press conference and rambles on. And then it's the agent becomes GM. And the Cavaliers, the second time he went there, they just drafted Anthony Bennett. They were a mess. And LeBron, first year finals. It took LeBron a second year. They had to redo the roster, but it's just incredible. 17th year, the Cavs and the Lakers, the last two teams he's been on, utter chaos until he arrives. Finals within 2 years. You're 17. Some of those MJ arguments, you just got to put them to rest, dude. You lost them. You just got to put them to rest.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we do it every Monday. Calling right, calling wrong. There's plenty of both from the previous week, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Very good week, making America money. It's what we do. The Blazing Five was 4-1. We were on the right side for the Bills, barely. New England, Cincinnati, we had +5, and Tampa Bay. We were wrong on Houston, although I felt great about that for about 2.5, 3 quarters. But we are now in the winning category through 15 games this year, 8 up and 7 down, making America money.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Lakers are in the finals. I don't even know how. Who's their third best player? Don't tell me it's Danny Green. He looks old and shot. Alex Caruso? Really? Kyle Kuzma, I think, has regressed. And they're blazing through the West. They're blowing through the West. I still do not know exactly how it's happened outside of in a league of duos. This duo's chemistry has been outstanding. For the record, I almost think the bubble is an advantage for LeBron. It gave the older legs 3 months off. COVID did. He just trained. He was in great shape. He's got his home gym. Not everybody could do that. Remember, Chris Middleton said, I didn't touch a ball for months. I've never seen LeBron this energized in half a decade. He is just, his energy is unbelievable in the bubble.
Where Colin was right.
I didn't like Mitch Trubisky out of college. I didn't like him in college, and I never liked him in the NFL, and he's done. He threw a pick yesterday in the third quarter. Matt Nagy said, out. Nick Foles in. Nick Foles threw 3 touchdowns. They go on to beat Atlanta. This is what I never got. Chicago is a cold weather, windy town November on. He's a weak-armed quarterback. Maybe he works in Arizona or a Miami or a Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew's arm works in Jacksonville. You cannot bring a quarterback who's small in stature, athletic, but can't throw. I like Teddy Bridgewater. It's not going to work in Chicago or Baltimore. It works in a Carolina. It can work in a warm weather city or a dome team like an Atlanta or a New Orleans. I never got Trubisky. Chicago whiffed on the pick. The GM knows it. He'll probably end his career. Winning record as a starter, but the Bears are winning to due to coaching, and now due to Nick Foles, Trubisky's starting career is probably over.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Patriots' demise is greatly exaggerated. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. Coaching, defense, efficiency, I think they're a trading deadline move from being a Super Bowl team. I really do. I think this is the last team Andy Reid wants to face. This is the last team Lamar Jackson and the Ravens want to face. They'll just ball control you to death. And now they've got a quarterback in Cam Newton that, like Lamar Jackson, can get first downs. They are really good. They are really – Miami couldn't compete with them. The Raiders couldn't compete with them. And they are a two-yard play from being undefeated. And I think they just need a – they need a deep threat. N'Keal Harry even works now. Like, everything is clicking.
Where Colin was right.
We said all summer, I said, Joe Burrow's going to be Tony Romo. But that offensive line's going to get him killed. And he got creamed yesterday. He got sacked 8 times. One of them looked serious. This organization does not have a history of doing things right. Joe Burrow, and I'm serious about this, at some point, you may want to get a backup. If you're 0-8 or 0-9, and I think they'll win some games, but this is the worst offensive line easily in the league. They not only don't run the football, they don't even try to run the football, and that's with Joe Mixon, who's a very capable running back. This is exactly what we predicted. A Tony Romo-level quarterback. He's got real skills, effortless thrower. You know, I don't think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but he's a really good young player. He can make plays. He extends plays. He's tough. He's getting crushed. This offensive line is the pits in Cincinnati.
Where Colin was wrong.
It's not all Sam Darnold's fault, but he's regressing, and he was terrible yesterday. He threw a pick six on his first drive, a pick six later. I mean, he's just too loose. He makes bad throws. Now again, he's using backup wide receivers. Their offensive line's a total rebuild. They've got the wrong coach. Le'Veon Bell's not healthy. He's got nothing to work with. I mean, nobody gets open. He's got nothing to work with. And he makes one or two plays a game that are unbelievable. He is not getting better. His passer rating is 70. 70. And maybe with all the starters back, it's 80, 85. But he's Ryan Tannehill got better when he left Adam Gase, and I've been told the New York Jets owners have reached out to an agent to ask about coaching possibilities. Thursday is my guess, Adam Gase's last day as a New York Jets head coach.
Where Colin was right.
We said all offseason, the way to win in Cleveland is take the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands. It's exactly what they've done. Yesterday, 23 pass attempts. 37 running attempts. Baker is simply not talented enough to be your fastball. He is a two or a three pitch. Stefanski has realized it very quickly. We can win with Baker, but Nick Chubb's the best player on this offense. Kareem Hunt's probably the second best player. Odell Beckham. You cannot be led by Baker Mayfield. He's simply not that talented. He's not a special player, but he is the kind of guy like Case Keenum is backup who can make throws if you protect him, if you give him a running game. But this is what we kept preaching. Stop trying to validate making a bad number one pick. He's a game manager. He's got a nice little arm. He's not a special athlete. Take the ball out of his hands. Let him throw on third and short, second and four, and Baker Mayfield then can win you a lot of games. That's exactly what they're doing now.
Where Colin was wrong.
Maybe Carson Wentz isn't special because I can't figure it out. But Doug Peterson coached that game yesterday like he did not trust Carson Wentz. He has regressed. His mechanics are a mess. His confidence is done. I don't know why Philadelphia's wide receivers and offensive line can't stay healthy. I've never seen a franchise 3 years in a row. Nobody can stay healthy. But he's got 7 giveaways, last in the NFL. His passer ratings last in the NFL. His yards per attempt are last in the NFL. And Doug Peterson has lost confidence in him. They were coaching him yesterday like he was a backup quarterback.
Where Colin was right.
I've said for 2 years, I like Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. He's a Hall of Famer, that Drew Brees. This is not a Super Bowl team. They can't throw the ball over the top. Do you realize that 65% of Drew Brees' yards are after the catch? This is a dink and dunk offense. Michael Thomas is not a deep threat. He's just a great player. This offense, 29 completed passes, 13 went to running backs. What are they without Alvin Kamara? It is a dink and dunk offense. The NFL is increasingly explosive, and they're not even resembling an explosive offense.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, New York. Said it 5 years ago, said it 4 years ago, said it 3 years ago, said it 2 years ago, and I'll say it again. No city has a higher percentage of pro sports teams that are awful. Even St. John's in New York City's awful. Everything's awful outside of the Yankees. The Giants and the Jets are easily the two worst teams in the NFL, and they may be the two worst coach teams in the NFL. Both teams are in a rebuild, and I wonder by next year if they don't do over their rebuilds. They are miles from being competitive. New York's got all the money in the world, but they've got bad owners and a lot of weak front offices, too much ego, don't put the time in, too much vanity. These are awful, awful professional sports teams. The Giants, I mean, at least the Jets, I think, have a quarterback you can win games with, because Sam Darnold last year had a winning record despite mono and a terrible offensive line. Oh, by the way, Matt Nagy is officially announced. Nick Foles is the starter. Okay. Of course he is. Nick Foles should be the starter.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Trent Dilfer played for a decade and a half in the NFL, made a Pro Bowl, and won a Super Bowl. He's now a coach. His team won 61-0 Friday in Tennessee. Lipscomb Academy head football coach Trent Dilfer is now joining us. So, as a coach, you've seen three games of the Cowboys. I know their wide receiving core is really dynamic. I really like them. And I know my coaches won a Super Bowl, and there's some individual players, but if you looked at the Cowboys film for 3 weeks, tell me what they are and what they're not.
They're not playing complimentary football. I think they bought into this sizzle and sexy thing on offense. They're not establishing the line of scrimmage dominance, stealing possessions from the other team's offense, creating a physical presence for their football team in all three phases that has lasting value. Yards are great. With yards comes some points, but also comes 1 and 2. Winning football games at every level, you have to call the game to complement the other two phases of football. I think that's what Bill Belichick, of all his genius, that might be his greatest genius, is he never let a game be about defense or offense or special teams. It's always the blend of all three together. And I don't see that with the Cowboys right now.
By the way, the last two drives of the game really defined it. Dak got close, so did Russell, but Russell made the play. When was the moment? Because Russell was different. He was 5'11 and a half. He ran around a lot. When he broke into the league, there was a lot of, I don't know. Now everybody likes the running quarterback. What is it with Russell? And when was the moment you sort of went, okay, this is, it doesn't look like it's supposed to look right, but it's amazing.
I don't know if this is the exact moment. I remember they came back against the Carolina Panthers a few years ago at home. They were down a bunch. Cam Newton was the quarterback. He was playing great. And you just saw Russell take over the game, especially in must-pass situations. And really that's, you know, we have these conversations, who's the greatest quarterback? And right now in the NFL, it's so hard to say who the best is because there's so many great ones. Quarterback's never been better. But to me, it always came down to who's the most successful? Who dominates the game when everybody in the world knows you're going to throw? So your wife's over there, you know, doing dishes, and she looks over and goes, oh, yeah, they're going to throw it right now. Which quarterback in that moment can still take over? And to me, that's where Russell's really separated himself. Him, Mahomes, probably Aaron, Tom Brady still. They're the ones that if everybody in the world knows you're throwing, the defensive lineman, four-point stances, you're getting the best defensive call from the coordinator – somehow they can still move the chains. I mean, I think about Dan Marino was that way. Peyton Manning was that way. Tom Brady's always been that way. Brett Favre was that way. That didn't matter what you did in those must-pass moments, end of the half, end of the game, again, third and long, they just tend to dominate. And that's really what you're seeing with Russell is there's a ton of production. The numbers are incredible. But in those critical moments when everybody knows what's going to happen, he somehow still finds a way to be successful. My jaw drops every time I see it.
Listen, you played on a team with a great defense. And when you do, I think it can change a quarterback. A quarterback thinks I don't need to take big risks. What's the point? I watched Tom Brady's defense, and I'm like, I'm not sure Tom has to take a lot of risks with this defense. I mean, honestly, this defense is their front seven, pass rush, athletic. I don't even think their secondary is bad. It's just young. I wonder if Tom recognizes very early This is not going to be the heavy lifting people would think, because every week I watch Tampa's defense, I'm starting to believe that's the Super Bowl unit.
Well, again, and I think Tom is the perfect person to speak into the three-phase football in that organization. He's actually been playing this way the last few years of the Patriots. You know, Bill built a really good defense there. They didn't have to take a lot of risk offensively. Everybody thought he'd go to Tampa, and they're so they have all these explosive weapons offensively, and it was just going to be chuck and duck. And Tom's too smart for that. He's still playing football because he wants to win championships. And the way you win championships is you play the position complementary to the rest of your football team. He's still going to throw it 30 plus times a game. He's still going to make big throws. He's still going to be Tom Brady. But there's going to be those 6 to 8 decisions he makes a game where he doesn't have to be uber aggressive. He can be conservative. He understands that punting with this defense isn't the end of the world. He needs to take advantage of 4 to 6 possessions a game when they have good field position, when they feel like they have the opposing defense on their heels. And nobody knows how to do that better than Tom Brady. People will use lame terms like game manager. He's not himself, or he's not pushing it down the field. None of that matters to him. What matters to him is, at the end of the day, was there a win or was there a loss? He wants the wins, and he's going to play the game accordingly.
When you look at Philadelphia, I know Carson Wentz has talent, but golf and football can be similar. There's a lot of time in the sidelines, and you can lose it. You can just lose your confidence, lose the confidence in your fairway wood, lose your confidence on the swing pass. Something's wrong with Carson Wentz. I'm watching yesterday. Burrow looks like a much better player. I mean, it's a mess. What do you do?
Yeah, he's all over the map right now. I've heard you use the term loose. I heard Dan Orlowski this morning say nonchalant. I'd agree with both of those. It looks laissez-faire. It looks casual. It doesn't look edgy. It doesn't look precise. The quarterback position, even for the guys that are fantastic athletes and can create and are intuitive players, there's still a level of precision to their game. And you're not seeing that with Carson Wentz. I mean, we can dumb it down and just talk about accuracy. I mean, he throws 2 interceptions yesterday, or 1 interception that was just really bad ball placement. And then at the end of overtime, when he has that slant to hit on 3rd down, I mean, that's a throw I expect my high school quarterback to make. Inside, chin below the chin, leading the receiver, tight window throws. I would expect my 17-year-old quarterback to make that throw in a big moment. And here's Carson Wentz in the NFL not making it. So there's definitely a lack of precision. Now, those things can be fixed. I'm not going to give up on Carson Wentz. But this is all hands on deck for the Philadelphia Eagles organization, making sure that daily he is being grinded and coached on the details and expecting a level of precision from his game that he's not showing.
So you are a second-year coach. So I was saying, one of the things I noticed last year with Green Bay, Matt LaFleur's first year as a head coach, they were very good on the script. But what makes Belichick and Andy Reid and Pete Carroll different is they go in at half – and they make adjustments. Pete's a great second-half coach. LaFleur last year, once he got off the script, that was a bad second-half team. This year, Trent, Green Bay's a better second-half team. Is it a coincidence? You're in the coach. You're in your second year. Do you think? I feel like Matt LaFleur is a better coach this morning than he was a year ago at this time.
Did you come up with this question on your own? This is way too smart of a question. This had to have been your team that gave this to you. This is actually a brilliant question. And again, I know it's just high school football, but it's a challenge, man. We're really good when I'm on script. We're really prepared. We all prepare every staff out there in high school football. That second half, I mean, that halftime is 15 minutes. And it's more than just scribbling plays that you like. It's a process of having a guy go and get in the office before the first half is over and start cutting things up and looking at tendency. It's communication amongst the offense, defensive staff. What's working? What's not working? What have they done differently than we prepared for? Fronts, coverages, dogs, blitzes, spacing on the field, down and distance tendencies. I was overwhelmed my first year, and I'm sure Matt LaFleur was the same way. It's really an all hands, more than Matt. It's his entire team, meaning coaches, people up in the box, like everybody, all hands on deck, making sure there's the right information getting to them, and then they know how to disseminate that information and then execute it in the second half. It is one of the great challenges of coaching at any level, and it's amazing how quickly they've turned it around.
Yeah, they really are. Very good second-half team. So finally, you know, one of the staff members, the brilliant staff members, came up with this morning. They said, you know, when you think about this game tonight with Lamar and Patrick, we these are playoff teams, but there is psychology in this stuff. Mm-hmm. If Lamar got behind, could not play well. Patrick Mahomes beats him again. You do get to a point where it's like, okay, this is the Manning Brady thing where there is a kryptonite out there. Like, I think Baltimore needs to win tonight, and I would love to see him come from behind and win a shootout. I know it's early. It's week three. This may sound like nonsense, but did you ever play games early in a year and you thought, you know what, we're going to face this team again. This matters week three or four.
Yeah, every time I faced Favre during his three straight MVPs and they were pounding us when I was in Tampa. Those narratives do matter a little bit, but I think the bigger thing, it's less on Lamar and more on his staff. I think this coaching staff needs to understand they're probably a better team in all three phases than Kansas City. They need to take a little bit of the burden off Lamar. They need to play great defense for one. They can't give it the big play to Mahomes. Offensively, they got to run the rock. They got to establish their physical dominance. I do think that's an advantage the Ravens have, probably a little more physical than the Chiefs. They need to exercise that physicality tonight, protect Lamar. And it's not protecting him. It's just saying, hey, we're all in this together, and winning a Super Bowl, not winning a Monday Night Football game, but winning a Super Bowl takes all three phases being dialed in all the time. And we're going to kind of plant our flag tonight and show the Chiefs that that's what we're about.
Yeah, good stuff. Congrats on your win. Trent Dilfer at Lipscomb Academy, head football coach in Nashville, Tennessee. Playoff team last year. And see, he admits, see, he goes into halftime, he just makes crap up. He grabs a crayon. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's not, coaching is hard.